Today's sermon is entitled, Being the Light of the World. Now, I don't know if any of you remember back over the summer, we were doing some Bible teachings on Sunday mornings, and we were doing the parables. Do you remember that? Well, this is literally a revised version of that sermon. I do not like to repeat sermons. People have said to me, oh, you probably have copies of all your sermons. I said, yeah, on the internet. Because when I'm done with a sermon, gone. That way I can never repeat it. Because I have seen too many pastors, they begin to preach, and after 8-10 years, they figure, it's enough research, I'm just going to recycle. So every 8-10 years, they just recycle everything. And I think, no, God is fresh and new each and every morning. He has a word he wants us to hear. Amen? And I thought to myself today, so why am I repeating this sermon? And it's because God has brought it to my heart. This is the time of light. And we need to be a people of light, more so now than ever before. And I think as the days go by, that is going to continue to grow. Would you agree with that? We need to be a people of light. And beginning Advent, which is the season of light, I thought, what better topic, gracious Lord, than to speak on being the light, that light of the world. So if you would, open your scriptures to Matthew. We are going to be in chapter 5. We're going to begin with verse 14. If I sound a little funny today, that's because I have a cold. It's in my sinuses, and I'm hoping it gets out of there. We're going to be in verse 14. This is the very beginning of Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He just got done with the Beatitudes, and now he begins to teach the people this huge sermon that we have written down, this one large teaching, and he spoke so much to the people, and we're just going to look at a very small portion of it. For from the 14th verse, we read these words. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world. Do you understand what that means to you and I? Do you understand what that means to our world? And I think it's funny because when you begin to look at, yeah, I'm going to stop here and we're going to come back. What it means here, when it says a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. We are the church, a group, okay? If you have one single candle, is it easy to hide that on a hill? From a distance, yes, it would be. But when you light up a city, that light is hard to hide. How many of you have ever looked out at the night sky and seen the glow of Lebanon? Okay? From where I live, I can see the racetrack lights. Okay? It's so amazing because when I first moved in here, I would ask people what that was. And they said, oh, that's Penn National. I said, no, it can't be Penn National. That's too far away. It's Penn National. The lights from Penn National. And it just so amazes me. And this is what Jesus is talking about. As a church, the light of God exuding from us should not be able to be hidden. Is that something our world wants from us? Let's read on from verse 15. It says, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen. Blessed be that word. Because I wanted to start on this with that very reality that we as a church are meant to be shining that light forth. That's the big light. But each of us also, and we all have remember singing the song, y'all remember putting your finger in the air, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know, we sing it with the kids and we have fun. But the reality is our world does not want that single candle to shine. Our world is okay with the church shining in the church, not in the world. Our faith is supposed to be inside these four walls. I'm sorry, but the church doesn't have four walls. The building we meet in has four walls, but I've never seen a wall on a church. Are you the church? Where's your wall? We put up walls, and they're not real walls. They're emotional, mental walls that we put up to the world. And we need to begin tearing those walls down. We need to take those walls down and allow our light to shine out into this world. As you think about it, you know, I want you to think about this. When you go to the grocery store or you go to Wally World, okay? How many of you like to go to Wally World, okay? Or Target, okay? Or Home Depot. I'm naming some bad ones here if you understand my gist, all right? When you get into those places, how many of them say Merry Christmas? None. They will all say Happy Holidays. And it amazes me because when you as a Christian speak back, what do you say? It's so funny because we become parrots and we parrot right back what was said because, Happy Holidays to you. No, Merry Christmas, let your light shine. We need to remember this is not a holiday season. We are celebrating Christmas. Several days after that, we'll celebrate New Year's with the rest of the world. This first holiday is the holiday that marks the birth of our Savior, Jesus the Christ, that He came in nativity, the light of the world, the love of God, given as a gift that all men who would believe may find salvation and have it through the believing faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross. We need to remember, we preach this at the parades. The nativity is just the beginning of the story. There's more to come, and it ain't over yet. Okay? It is not over yet. It begins with Christ. Guess what? It ends with Christ. And don't ever forget it. Our world wants us to. Our world wants us to throw that away, put that in a jar somewhere and store it up. We're supposed to put it in the closet of our psyche and keep the door shut so nobody else can see it. That's wrong. The scripture is very clear on that. Now, wait a minute, you know, Pastor, but you know, we're not supposed to be an offense to anybody. What? Have you read the Word of God? Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. I'm amazed at just what we are supposed to be and how we are supposed to live because light casts out darkness. And I'm going to tell you right now, darkness does not like being cast out. Darkness is real. You know, we often think about darkness and light in our world because, hey, how many of us have 15 light switches in our house? All right? You know, let's face it. Some of us may even have more, right? So when we want light, we just flick on a switch and we got light. I think it's so amazing because some of us treat our spirituality that way. I'm not supposed to shine here. Flick. There's no switch on us. The light of Christ is either in you shining or it's not in you. I mean, that's a harsh reality. This is God's reality. Look what he says here. From John in the third chapter, verse 19 is where we're going to begin and we're going to read to 21. He says to us, this is Christ's word, all right? This is the judgment that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes into the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Do you understand what that word there means, having been manifested? That means that as you live out your life in Christ and the light of Christ shines through you, God is through you manifesting himself into the world. God is working through you. You know, many of us, we want to be like Moses. We want God to do something great. Guess what? Turn on your spirit, open up your spirit, and just be the person God wants you to be, and you will shine forth a light that is far brighter than the light Moses had when he carried 4 million people out of the land of Egypt. Because what God wants you to do is greater today than what he did with Moses back then. You may not think so, but I'm going to tell you right now, every person you show the love of Christ to, every person you show the light of Christ to, God has a special purpose for them. And guess what? If that person comes to glory through the fact that you've shown your light, what do you get? It's called treasure in heaven. Where do we live? I don't live here. This is a place I'm visiting. I'm kind of stuck here. You know, it's like being stuck in the airport when you're traveling between two places. I was going to death. Now I'm going to life. And guess what? I'm in the airport waiting to get there. So while I'm here, I have to eat airport food and put up with airport people. And I need to shine the light of my destination. I need to be Christ to this world. And our world wants us to shut it off. Our world is telling us that as Christians, we're supposed to shut our mouths, keep our mouths shut, put your faith in the drawer, but don't speak a word against any of the other religions out there in the world. Because if you do, you're a bigot, that's hate crime, and all this other stuff. We are the only people, and I'm saying this directly onto the internet right now, and it's the truth. If the world wants to hear it and see it and understand it, all they have to do is turn on the internet, and you will find it. Turn on the news, and you will find it. We, Christians, are the only people that the Constitution doesn't apply to. It applies to everybody else. Freedom of religion applies to everybody else, but not Christians. Oh, no, sorry. And I'm so tired of these federal judges that are out there who have been put into office through liberal vote. You know, I'm really looking to get our website kicked off the internet here, all right? Because I am so tired of these federal judges who side with society when they know that the law that has been given is literally a painting, a picture. And when I say the law, I'm talking the Constitution. It's the only law of the land. You do understand that. Everything else falls under that law. Is a picture painted directly out of this book. And that's what the forefathers meant it to be. But they have said to us, close the book. We're going to rewrite the law. And that's what they're effectively trying to do. And when you eliminate the light of Christ in a society, what happens to that society? Ultimately, that society goes into darkness. What happens in darkness? Utter chaos. In fact, it tells us in the scripture that it is going to happen. We are told that in the end times, before the Christ comes, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. How was it in the days of Noah? It was not good, as Mitch just said. For every man did as he thought good. And we need to remember, the world was so perverse at that time, there was only one man and his three sons who were righteous in the whole world. That's why Scripture says, when he comes again, will he find faith? We just spoke about this today, didn't we, in the men's ministry. Isn't it kind of amazing how God ties stuff together? You guys had no idea what I was preaching on. I wasn't paying attention to what the men's ministry was. And here's the reality, folks. Our world's going to hell in a handbasket. No, our world's going to hell in a shopping basket. I mean, we are buying everything they're selling. Can I get an amen on that one? Look at our society. Nothing that has come into our society has been stopped. I can remember when I was a little boy. Oh, no, those things will never happen. This is the United States of America. Well, evidently we aren't the United States of America anymore because those things have all happened and there's more coming. We need to let our light shine. We need to remember Jesus told us men love darkness and they're going to kick the light out because they don't want anything to do with it. In that instance, we need to shine our light all the brighter because it's only through the light of Jesus Christ that we can illuminate the world and help the world achieve the second aspect of light. Like I said, first aspect, light casts out darkness. Darkness hates it, but it's only in light, it is only in light that things grow. Now, there are going to be scientists out there who are going to say to me, no, wait a minute. You can't say that because, you know, there are fungi that live at night. You know, where do you raise mushrooms? In the dark and in manure. I know there's sometimes all of us feel like we're mushrooms, right? We're in the dark and they're feeding us that stuff. And we need to understand God wants us to come out of that stuff because I call that stuff the world's stuff. All right? Because it does grow. Look at the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel grew in darkness. They were an arrogant people. And God said, I'm going to go down and confuse their languages. We need to understand that even in darkness, things will grow to a point. But then God intercedes. Or we also find that once depravity gets to a certain point, what happens to a society? It completely and utterly falls inward because there's no one to enforce the laws anymore. The laws don't make sense. So the entire society crumbles in on itself. Do we know that for a fact? Have you ever heard of Rome or Greece? Have you ever heard of these ancient societies? How about the French? Okay. How about some of these ancient societies, the Persians? All right, you know, the list goes on because every society that has ever raised up in darkness and fell in darkness. The United States has been raised up in light and darkness is overcoming it. And guess what's happening to our society? We are fighting for our very lives right now, brothers and sisters. And the only way we're going to continue to grow is if we walk in the light. Turn your Bibles, if you would. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And you all should know this scripture. I'm going to see if anybody recognizes it once we get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 6. Does anybody recognize that scripture? Does anybody recognize? I'm going to read verse 6. All right? Here's verse 6. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Blessed be his word. Does anybody recognize that scripture? I got two people that did. It's on your bulletin. It's our church scripture. It's what we believe. It's who we tell the world that we are. It's the purpose by which we exist, to love God, love others, and go. That's the light of Christ. It is right there. God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That all, that is the gospel in a nutshell. That is the reality of who we are, that if we walk in the knowledge of God, if we walk in the light of Christ, that light begins to shine in us. That light is called life, okay? Because without the light of Jesus Christ, there is no life in any of us. All we have is darkness. And as we begin to allow that light to change us, we begin to grow in knowledge because we begin to thirst and hunger for the things of God. Amen? We find ourselves in church. We find ourselves in Bible study. We find ourselves reading our Bible. We find ourselves being changed, being transformed, being renewed. To what? The image of Christ. That's exactly what this scripture is telling us. So when we understand that when we take our light out there into the world, there's a reason the world hates it. Because we show them that they're mushrooms. Now, I'll agree, I do like mushrooms to eat. But there are some mushrooms that are poisonous, aren't they? And we need to remember that our world is poisoned with evil, with sin. And we spoke about that today in our men's ministry. I just think God is so amazing in how he brings his word alive in our lives. I mean, I want you to think about this. I cannot even believe that we live in a society today. And, you know, I'm going to be labeled a homophobe and a bigot and everything else. And that's fine because, you know, evidently God's a homophobe and a bigot too because he says, thou shalt not. All right? Did anybody ever hear God say, thou shalt not? You know, I think it's so amazing because, you know, they're like, well, you misinterpreted that, and, you know, that's Old Testament, and we don't need to live by that anymore. You don't live by anything anyway unless it makes you happy, and if happy today is one thing and happy tomorrow is another thing, you change it. These people speak out of both sides of their mouths in this world of ours, and they expect to, how can, you know, I think it's so funny. It's, the scripture is very true. It says, a house divided cannot stand, right? And on one hand, you'll have these people saying one thing, and it's good and fine for a little while, and then all of a sudden, oh, I don't like you anymore, so now I'm going to speak this. And we see that in the transgenderism and all those things right now, because, you know, they're fighting with each other. You know, this LGBT, XYQ, LP, NM, MSQR, there's supposedly 69 different sexualities in the world. I think it's funny. God said he created two. 96? It's amazing. It's phenomenal to me. Talk about darkness. People are groping around in the darkness. In darkness, you cannot see. How many of you have ever stubbed your toe at night walking from your bedroom to the bathroom? Right? You don't want to turn the light on because you don't want to wake anybody. And you don't really want to wake yourself up so you can go back to sleep, right? So you walk through the kitchen, blap, oh! You're seeing stars anyhow, right? It's so amazing because that's what happens in darkness. People grope around. We have a picture of it in Sodom and Gomorrah where God made them all blind and they went around feeling their way along the walls. And we need to remember that's where our world is. It's groping. And they're groping each other. And it's okay. It's not okay. We need to have light in our lives so that we can see what is going on. That's my third point. Light removes confusion and exposes sin. Oh, boy, does our world not want us to deal with that one. Who are you to tell me what sin is? I'm not. He has. He's God, not me. And when we walk in the light of Jesus Christ, he shows us truly what sin is. And he calls it by name. Open your scriptures, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. This is the apostle speaking to each and every one of us, and I think it's a place that we can all really go, especially this time of year, because the light that is in us truly has benefited us. For he says to us in verse 8, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, 'Awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Amen." Brothers and sisters, when you look at that scripture, it's got to tell you one thing. In darkness, there is confusion. In darkness, there is groping. These people are out there. They don't want anything to do with the light. They want to be in the darkness. However, evil is so perverse, okay? Evil is so perverse, it tries to mock Scripture. Look what it says here. It says to us in verse 13, it says, "But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light." Okay, years ago, if you had a same-sex attraction, you kept it to yourself. Years ago, if you had an abortion, you kept it to yourself. Years ago, years ago, years ago. We can list them, right? Today, it's on our shirt sleeve because they want it to be visible because they understand evil understands the concept. Well, if it becomes natural, if it becomes what's out there, now it's light. Now it's light. I'm telling you, this darkness is light. No. We have been lied to so much. The good has been called bad, and the bad has been called good. I think the Scripture warns us of that, doesn't it? We need to understand, we are at the time of the Antichrist. We are in the time of the Antichrist. What does that mean, Pastor? I'll tell you what that means. In the book of Revelation, it tells us that as the time of Christ gets closer every day, the darkness is going to overtake our world. Now, it's not going to overtake us. Please don't think that. It can't overtake us. Can I get an amen? Amen? But we need to shine the light of Christ. Each and every one of us needs to shine the light of Christ because that's how we get through to the end. Okay? Jesus says, do not give up to the end. We need to remember the light of Christ that is in us is what's going to separate us from them. When the angels come, and remember, we've said this, and you know, I think Brother David spoke it the one week. He said, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Okay? When the angels in glory come, are they going to see your light shining, or are they going to pass you by? I want you to think about this. Back during World War II, the bombers, the German bombers, how would they identify their targets? By the lights. They would fly over at night because it was easier for them to get through, but how they would identify what they were doing was they would look at the lights. They could see the factories. They knew what these factories looked like at night. They had night pictures of them, and they would look for these things. So what the English did was they would have bombing raids where the sirens would go off and all the lights had to go out because then they lost their target. I want you to think about that. That's how important light is. Because when the end time comes, what do you think is going to get the angels to harvest us? Is the light of Christ in you? Is the light of Christ shining in you? Because if it is, believe me, they can see it. They've been in His presence. They know His glory. They can identify His glory. And the light of Christ is His glory shining in us. So when that end time comes, are we going to be shining that glory? Are those angels going to be able to, oh, yep, there's one. Oh, yep, there's one. Because all they're going to be in is darkness. Because the world around us is going to be that dark. They need to be able to see the light of Christ in each and every one of us. Now, there's a theological conundrum for you. And believe me, angels don't wear glasses. They can see you perfectly well. But we need to remember the evil of our world right now does not want us to walk without confusion. They will lie to us. They will manipulate us. They will twist things around on us. And the Scripture is replete with it. I had to laugh. I literally had to cut my Scriptures down today to give Chuck a list of 4 or 5 rather than 15. Because the Scriptures has so much to talk about this subject of being light in the world and what happens in the absence of light. I want you to look it up. I really do. I want you to see what God has to say to us. Because as we look at Advent and the light of Christ is coming more and more, guess what happens with darkness when light becomes much more bright? It fights back. You know, we all think, no, wait a minute, it flees. No, we live in a world where this is Satan's domain. He is fighting back. This is a battle, people. This is a war. And evil is going to push and push and push because his entire goal is not to become God anymore. All right? That was his first mess up. He's beyond that because Christ took the keys to hell from him because they were the only keys he had. Jesus had the keys of life. Well, guess what? He took the keys of death from... So he has the keys to everything. He has the keys to life and the keys to death. He knows who he is. He's a created being. He's not a God. He controls nothing. But the one thing he can do is take us to hell. And that's what he wants. That's what he wants with our world. He wants to take our world to hell. He wants to hurt God. We are his prized possession. And that's what's wrong with the world today. They don't realize who they are in Christ Jesus. Because they're not in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God does not dwell in them. They have no idea that the God of glory, the God of creation, the God of everything gave up his life that we could have life. But yet we celebrate Christmas. Happy holidays! It is what it is. I know for a fact Jesus Christ was not born on December 25th. But I also know in all of my heart, I celebrate with the church that we may shine as a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. I celebrate with the church December 25th, the day that we remember the greatest gift that we were ever given when God became man and dwelt among us to pay a price that we could not pay. You cannot remember nativity without remembering the cross. The two go hand in hand. The light had to come. Evil tried to extinguish it. Guess what? The eternal flame of God burns eternally. It cannot be put out. It will not be put out. And neither can nor should the light of Christ in you. I'm going to leave you today with a story. It was a father who had three sons. He wanted to give all his inheritance to one of his sons. So he gave them each a couple of coins, and he said, I want you to go. I want you to buy something. And the one of you who can buy whatever and fill this room, he emptied a room, completely emptied it. He said, whichever one of you with these few coins can buy something to fill this room, I will give you everything I have. So the first son, he went out, he thought for a while, and he went to a farmer and he bought all the straw that he could buy. And he came back to his father's house and he took the straw in the room and he fluffed it up as much as he could. But try as he might, the straw would not fill the room. The second brother, he was out and about doing his stuff. And he comes back and he's got these giant bundles of sticks that he bought with the money. And he brings them in and he starts stacking them in there. And try as he might, no matter what he could do, no matter how he positioned them, he just couldn't fill the room. The third son was out there, and the third son prayed and asked God what he could do. And he remembered who God was. So he came back to his father, and he said, Father, I didn't buy one thing, I bought two. Is that okay? His father said, I told you, use the money, buy whatever you want, but you have to fill this room. So the son went in the room with the door shut. When he was prepared, he opened the door for his father. And his father wept. And he said, my son, my inheritance, all that I am, all that I have is yours. Anybody have any idea what the two items were he bought? A match and a candle. And when he lit the candle, the light filled the room. Will you be that light this Christmas? Fill the room, not with your presence, but with the presence of God, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Would you rise? Father God, may we be that light of the world this holiday season. No, Lord, this Christmas season. That you may be glorified through all that we are, that our lives may display the love that we have received and that we need to give to others. Because, Lord, your love has changed us and is continuing to change us from glory to ever-increasing glory. For darkness is gone, the old is gone, and the new has come. And we receive that goodness, which is Jesus the Christ. Now, Lord, allow us to go from this place in the light of Christ and to continue to be your light, your image into a dark world. For, Lord God, we know your time is drawing nigh, and may we as John prepare the way by bringing the light before you. In your holy name, O Lord God, we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.